This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's podcast is on navigating this cold and flu season. And of course, there's an even bigger onus on it this year because of another communicable respiratory disease, the coronavirus. But actually, for all intents and purposes, this, if not for the coronavirus, this would be a timely update on what incapacitates and even kills millions of Americans every year. Well, it doesn't kill millions of Americans, but the death toll from the flu is in the thousands. And in spite of the fact that coronavirus is raging in the East, in China, particularly confined to China, we're still prey to the usual problems. With us today is Nathan Jones. He's CEO and founder of Clear Inc. That's spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's a product that is familiar to many of you because they are the makers of Clear nasal products, also Spry dental products. They're all based on the exciting potential of xylitol as an antimicrobial agent. So, Nate, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great.
Good.
Thanks for having me back.
It's my great pleasure. Well, first of all, for so many of our listeners are already acquainted with the story, but in brief, what's the deal with xylitol?
It's a great product. That's pretty brief. But no, it's a sugar that actually it's a different molecular structure than regular six carbon sugars, and because it's missing that sixth carbon atom, it actually has a lot of almost antibacterial properties. It blocks bacterial adhesion. It binds up on receptor sites and blocks their ability to adhere. Bacteria try to eat it, they can't. Bacteria that create acid try to eat it, they can't. And that's where it helps change the microbiome of bacteria in your mouth from bacteria that create acid to bacteria that don't create acid, which gives you a healthier microbiome in your mouth. And a healthy microbiome in your mouth is very important to your oral systemic health. And I got into this business because my father is a physician, and he, back in the late 90s, was trying to find a way to prevent ear infections in kids. He had all these chronic ear infections in these kids.
And he was just improvising, right? I mean, he was like one of these kind of, you know, country docs who faced with a lot of kids who were having problems. He said, you know, there's got to be a better way.
Well, you'd be very correct in calling him one of these country docs. He was practicing in Hale Center, Texas, a town of about 1,500 people. But they had all these chronic infections, and he got on the internet and he started Googling. Actually, Google wasn't around. He was on PubMed, and he started querying, I guess is a word, all of these, because he started querying, you know, preventing ear infections or ear infections. And what kept coming up was a bunch of dental studies. And what they found is in all these dental studies is that And the data they collected is that the people that were using the xylitol chewing gum in these studies, not only were they not getting cavities, but they were also getting 42% fewer upper respiratory infections just by chewing gum. And in subsequent studies, what they found is that the xylitol does block bacterial adhesion of strep pneumo, H flu, MCAT, staph, some of these other bacteria.
And the principle there is that there's communication between the mouth and the ears and the nasal passages. via the eustachian tubes, and you know, it's just all kind of contiguous there. It's not, there's not some sort of border crossing where the bacteria stop in the back of your tongue or in your throat.
That's correct, and it's all linked together back there. And but he read those papers and he said, well, you know, ear infections start in the nose. I'm not going to give chewing gum to a you know, 8-month-old baby. And so he came up with the idea, and he just bought some ocean saline spray, added some xylitol to it, started washing out their nose, and the kids just literally stopped getting sick. And, you know, they had a 92%, and this is just his patients in his practice, but they had a 92% decrease in ear infections. And he collected data from 18 months prior to 18 months after they started using it.
So he got tired of laboriously mixing ocean nasal spray with pure xylitol. He said, son, here's a business opportunity for you. Can you make this go mainstream so that I've got enough product to treat my patients and, you know, we can turn the rest of the world onto it? Is that basically
I don't know if that's the way it went. I was, I think you know this, but I was working as an underwater welder, commercial diver out in the Gulf of Mexico. And I took a week off and went up, was visiting him, and somebody came in and asked for some. And I said, Dad, what is this stuff you're making? And he told me about it. And I said, well, if it works so well, why don't you, you know, start a business? And he goes, I'm 63. I'm going to retire pretty soon. I don't want to. And I just went, well, what about me? Me. And I've been saving up money to start my own diving business. So we started Clear instead. And that was 20, almost 21 years ago.
Okay. Because if not for that, you'd still be, you know, diving like whatever, some unbelievable depths down there, welding, you know, oil drill platforms at, you know, 600 feet underwater or something like that with a hard suit on.
You got to do what you got to do to pay bills, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, dangerous work and, you know, it's probably fairly good money. So we're taking a chance by starting a business. Obviously, it's taken off. Tell us, you know, how many countries you're involved in. You're also, you mentioned to me before we talked on the, you know, start of this recording that you're expanding to Europe, to internationally.
That's correct. Well, we've been selling a little bit into the natural retailers in the UK for a while. But we haven't really done any educational outreach. We haven't gone over to Europe and attended medical conventions, or done any marketing support over there. And we're starting to do that now. I mean, here in the U.S., we're now in CVS. I mean, we're the number one selling non-drug nasal spray in CVS. So we're, wow, you know, we're happy there.
And that, it's hard to get shelf space. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, you come up with an invention and, you know, it's easy, they'll carry it. But actually, it, you know, and I've tried this when I was a product developer. It's really hard to get carried by national chains because their shelf space, believe it or not, I mean, they've got miles and miles of shelf space, but it's limited. So you got to, you know, show you got the chops to get listed there because they don't want to put a lot of product that's going to sit there and gather dust.
Yeah, no, it is. It's not easy. But we just came from a meeting about 3 weeks ago, and it's doing so well that CVS is going to pick up the new 12-hour that we'll talk about later. They're going to pick up the rescue, and they're looking at picking up the Max and the rinse bottles.
Great. Okay, we'll talk about all the variations on the theme, but you know, let's talk a little bit about cold and flu prevention, just generically. What are some of the things? And let's also keep in mind, and again, I don't want to make outlandish claims that this or that or the other thing, you know, some kind of, you know, inhaling hydrogen peroxide or taking some, you know, magic mushrooms or something like that is going to stem the tide of this devastating coronavirus epidemic. But let's keep in mind that the cold, most colds are actually coronaviruses. So on the basis of the fact that these are viruses of a similar structure. Look, there's no complete destruction or disinfection or some perfect bulwark against misfortune that this offers, but it's plausible that if it works against colds, it can work against some of these you know, more deadly infections, right?
That's true. And that's the working premise. But, you know, when you're talking about prevention, you know, the big thing about prevention is, you know, is really about hygiene and staying healthy. And, you know, you can take all the supplements you want, but if you're not actually working to stay healthy, you know, get out and get some exercise, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, it's not going to work as well.
Adequate the other part sleep, of it is the hygiene. You know, good diet, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, a big concern is, you know, what happens if you get on a, if you have to take a trip? You know, a lot of my friends and colleagues have been emailing me and they say, oh my goodness, the coronavirus is afoot. I'm planning to take a cruise or I'm planning to get on a plane. I'm petrified. You know, what can I do to protect myself? Is there anything, any measures that we can undertake?
Well, the biggest thing to do, obviously, is wash your hands. And the second thing, I mean, wash your hands every hour, every 2 hours, if you think that you need to. The other one is
You know, I go in the subway, and you know, when you're subway, you grab poles, you know, you hang on to straps, you touch surfaces, and, you know, even if you try to stay away from people who seem toxic or, you know, coughing or sneezing, you're touching stuff. And so when I get back home, you know, I look at my hands, and they look ostensibly clean, but I just make sure that I wash my hands. I think that's good practice.
See, that's roughly what I do. I'm not overly washing my hands, but I do wash them 4 or 5 times throughout the day. Hmm. I don't ride the subway because we don't have a subway here in Utah.
You ought to try it. I think it would really revolutionize transportation in your town.
Well, I will be in London next week, and I will be on the tube.
Okay. Well, beware.
Does that count?
Yep, absolutely.
I'll tell you, the biggest rat I've ever seen was in the tube in London. Does that count?
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you don't have those pizza rats. Those rats that I think that's
pick
one
up
of the
most and walk around with them.
Exactly. I think that's probably the most viewed YouTube video in history is the rat, the ingenious rat. It's a very New York kind of thing, because where else are you going to have a pizza rat but in New York City, who found himself a big slice of pizza and I guess wanted to take it home to the wife and kitties, and, you know, was seen hopping down the steps of the subway. Oh boy,
that is so funny.
Yep.
Anyways, so the things that we tell people to do, and that, you know, I think a lot of them are things that physicians, healthcare providers in general talk about, are things like making sure they wash their hands, you know, take a bath, you know, more frequently. But the other thing to do is make sure you're drinking a lot of water. Mm-hmm. Because the way your immune system works, if you're dehydrated, one of the first things that is going to get affected is your immune system, because your first barrier of defense to keep all of this stuff out of your body is actually the mucosal layer in your nose. Mm-hmm. And if you're dehydrated, that's going to dry out your nose also. And I know this gets a little gross, but if your mucus or your snot is dried up, mm-hmm. it can't trap the bacteria that you're breathing in. It can't filter out the air that you're mm-hmm. breathing in, and all that stuff is just going to go into your lungs.
And apropos, there is something in respiratory science and pulmonary medicine research called the snot score. Not that many people are familiar with the snot score, but you're all over the snot score. So tell us what the snot score is, and what are the implications for CLEAR?
Well, the snot score, and I'm glad you brought that up, the snot score is you either have the snot 20 or the snot 25, but each question is ranked on either 1 to 4 or 1 to 5. Points, and each, you know, and you have 20 or 25 points or 25 questions.
It sounds like kind of like the Bristol stool score for nasal secretions, you know, like do you have a perfectly shaped poop, you know, and you can actually look at the charts to see if it's, you know, optimal.
Heard of that, and I'm fine without hearing about it.
Okay, Google it and go for the images. But they can actually, they can sort of quantitate and qualify your nasal secretions based on the snot score. And some of it's subjective too, right? It's sort of like, you know, how are you doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of them are subjective. Most okay. of them are, how does it make you feel in public? How yeah. often do you have to blow your nose? Yeah. Does it inconvenience your social life?
Okay.
Does it inconvenience your work life? Mm-hmm. You know, do you have to breathe through your mouth? Because if people are breathing through their mouth, then you're going to get more cavities. You're going to get more oral diseases, mm-hmm. more problems like that.
But there's also less filtration of, you know, through your nasal passages, which are designed to filter out pathogens, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
If you're breathing through your mouth, it's not getting filtered at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you should breathe through your nose. And so the number two thing you want to do is make sure that you are drinking plenty of water, not coffee, mm-hmm. not Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, my problem. you know, not things with caffeine.
Wait, you're out there in Mormon country, right? The Utah. And
yeah.
they don't believe you should drink coffee, but I think the per capita consumption of caffeinated beverages is the highest in the country because you got to get the caffeine somehow.
I know. I agree with you. And I probably should drink less of it. But every time I drink less, I get headaches and irritable. And no, I'm kidding. When I'm overseas, I don't drink it.
We got to get you through the withdrawal. But anyway, so.
I know. But you just want to make sure that you're washing, or that you're drinking enough water, that you're keeping that mucosal layer moist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if your nose is drying out, you just need to do something to make it moist. And that's where Clear comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because Clear is different than a saline spray, because some of the papers that have been published recently, they actually show that if you use saline, in the long run, you're drying your nose out.
Mm-hmm. And also, you paralyze your cilia. Your cilia are designed like like little hairs that move that mucus blanket up and out of your body. And in people who have diseases where their cilia is impaired or smokers, that mucus just stays in their lungs or in their sinuses and then becomes a perfect culture medium for bacteria. And that's why they get so many infections.
And that is true. It does. And even saline salt in high concentrations will do the same thing. But most of your saline sprays underneath that.
It'll dry you. Yeah. It is drying effect.
It will dry you. And mm-hmm. and the reason why, and this was all discovered, I guess, or found out at the University of Iowa with a doctor, Zabner, and they were looking at people with cystic fibrosis.
Yes.
But
which is a disease of ciliary impairment. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. But the salt, is it moves back and forth across your membrane, the tissue in your nose, and that's how your body regulates how fluid your snot is. So if you spray into your nose, it's going to import the salt into the tissue, and the water then follows it and it dries it out. Then it has to pump back out, and so you're just really what you're doing is you're causing a little bit of inflammation and drying your nose out.
Mm-hmm.
And the xylitol is non-absorbed, so when you spray xylitol in your nose, not only are you blocking bacterial adhesion, but you're also putting something in that isn't absorbed. So it's going to sit there in your snot layer, in your mucus layer,
mm-hmm.
and it slowly over time just pulls moisture out of that tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it reduces that inflammation. And the paper that was published last February, so a year ago right now, in one of the pulmonology journals,
mm-hmm.
By Dr. Stephen Olmos, they actually used ultrasound and measured the airway. They used Clear, and then in 3 minutes, they measured the airway again, and they had a 20% improvement in their airway volume.
Hmm. Wow.
So the Clear works fairly fast.
And improvements in the reported snot scores, I think, in one
Correct.
Of the studies. Maybe not that one, but there
they,
was...
They had a... No, that was... the snot score of the paper was Dr. Nasuli at Georgetown in Washington, D.C., but they used it once in the morning, once at night, and in 3 weeks, it had improved their snot score by 25%,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. And it also improved their airway volume by 36%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just because it reduces that inflammation.
Well, let's compare this to the effects of some of the medications, because ear, nose, and throat doctors, also, you know, conventional GPs, if you have sinusitis or congestion, they have several strategies. One, they'll give you an oral antihistamine, you know, hopefully a non-sedating one, because these things knock you out. Or they'll give you a decongestant. Well, you got to be careful with decongestants, because decongestants have a speed-like effect. If you have hypertension, that's not good. They'll raise your blood pressure, make your heart rate go up. That's not so good. They'll give you nasal sprays, But we know that there's some drawbacks to these nasal sprays because you get hooked on them. And then they will also give you steroids, nasal steroids, sometimes oral steroids. But the nasal steroids vary, Nasacort, which is fluticasone. Yeah. Those do work to some extent to relieve symptoms, but what are the potential drawbacks of some of these approaches?
Well, the potential drawback to any of those, and I'm saying this in a broad sweeping thing, is what those are all designed to do, and there is a time and a place for those to be used, but what those are designed to do really is that's shutting down your immune system. Mm-hmm. When you're breathing something in that your body perceives as a threat, your first reaction to that is to create snot. Mm-hmm. And so if your body is reacting to something that it thinks is a threat, mm-hmm. you shouldn't just shut it down. Yeah. You should do something to assist it, to clean it out. When you take an antihistamine or a decongestant or a steroid, you're in essence, you're shutting down your immune system. And that isn't solving the problem. It's not going to clean the air out. All that's going to do is dry up your nose. And it now allows whatever you're breathing in to go into your lungs. All of those products, for the most part, will list in their side effects an increased incidence of upper respiratory infection. That's part of what their side effects are. And the reason for that is because you're not filtering out the air you're breathing in now.
Right. And then, moreover, a dependency develops. I mean, people who take steroids, they're aware of the fact that they cannot stop cold turkey because you'll get a rebound effect. Whatever your condition is, whether you have rheumatoid arthritis or ulcerative colitis or chronic sinusitis, stopping cold turkey is not a good idea because the symptoms will come back like gangbusters. Similarly, with some of the over-the-counter nasal sprays, you can develop a condition called rhinitis medicamentosa, a term that you're probably familiar with, which means that it's a rhinitis, which is inflammation of your nasal passage, that's due to a medication-induced nasal inflammation because you get hooked. You can't stop, right?
Yeah. And that is actually trending to be as big a problem as any of the other forms of rhinitis. Mm-hmm. And there was a paper published last June, I think. I can't remember the day, but it was in one of the pulmonology journals in Europe where they did the study in Turkey. But what they did is they looked and they compared fluticasone, which is the active ingredient of Flonase. It's a steroid. Mm-hmm. But they compared that product and our product. And our product worked just as well as the steroid at treating the symptoms. But the best thing about that paper was what they pointed out is that by using the xylitol, they were able to actually let the underlying tissue heal a lot faster. Hmm. So if you have inflammation or something's going wrong in your sinuses and you're getting congested and you go spray a steroid up there like fluticasone, you know, your body's going to take some time to get better, but it's drying that out. And your nose should not be dry for it to heal. It should be moist. And when you spray clear or xylitol in your nose, again, it's going to slowly pull moisture from the tissue into the mucosal layer, which is going to keep the underlying tissue in a healthy environment for it to heal faster.
It sounds like it's not an all or nothing thing because there are many people who are already on medications. It's not binary. Where you either use clear or a medication, you can simultaneously use clear to augment or support the benefits of the medication to help perhaps wean from the medication, reduce your dependency on the medication.
That we were finding that to be absolutely true. We had so many people, and by people I actually mean physicians, that were asking us and saying, hey, you know, when I tell my patient to use fluticasone, and I had them use your products to keep their nose moist. Mm-hmm. And they kept seeing really, really good results yep. with it. And even people using, you know, oxymetazoline, which is the active ingredient in Afrin, Four-Way, and a whole bunch of these other sprays. Mm-hmm. But what they kept coming back and saying is, hey, you know what? Not only do they not get the rebound, it also helps with the addiction issue because the addiction and the rebound all stem from you drying out your nose and your body wanting to make snot and it can't, you know, and so you actually overcome those and you're able to make it so that you don't. So adding the xylitol to it or using it in conjunction with one of those other ones actually mitigates a lot of those negative side effects.
Okay, we're going to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts, as most of you are familiar with our MO here. And in part two, we're going to talk about some of the practical strategies for utilizing clear nasal spray this cold and flu season. Our guest, Nathan Jones, he is CEO and founder of Clear, Inc., X-L-E-A-R. And you can find their products at clear, X-L-E-A-R.com. Also, a full range of dental products, although that's not our subject today, because what works in the nasal passages also what protects the enamel of the teeth and the gums from colonization by bacteria. We'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.